You're listening to Rhema for Today.
Now remember, I don't know whether you've forgotten my thought or not, but back there when I was talking about that blind man, the ninth chapter of John, where Jesus spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle, said, go wash it off in the pool of Siloam and thou shalt come again seeing. I'm talking about he had to obey that before he could get healed. Isn't that right? I said, isn't that right? In other words, just say it another way. Obedience was demanded before healing was manifested.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Healing, How to Receive It, How to Keep It, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Brother Hagin for today's message.
Actually, he said the doctor showed me an x-ray of his stomach, and he said, there's something that looked like as big as a wasp nest. The doctor pointed out and said, now that's this ulcer. In fact, they're afraid he'd run into cancerous growth. Well, he didn't want to submit to an operation. He can't go back to work for the oil company until they, you know, give him a clean bill of health. So for 2 years, he's off the job. Well, I said, the Lord will heal you. He said, well, I know it. I believe in healing, so on. So I laid my hands on him. Now, when I laid my hands on him, I knew by the word of knowledge. I don't always know about everybody. I do if the Spirit sees fit to tell me. I knew, first of all, that this was a spirit that oppressed his body, because it was revealed to me. Therefore, he's not healed by laying on of hands, or not healed by anointing with oil. It's more than a healing. You've got to cast the spirit out of his body. Now, I knew this also, that if you just go ahead and cast that spirit out of him without saying anything, that you're going to confuse everybody. A lot of folks are confused enough without us preachers confusing them anymore. Amen. And so we need to make things as clear as possible. And I always try to do that. I may not always be successful, but at least I try. And I knew that if you just, you know, commanded that spirit that I know was there, because I have the revelation of it, I don't just imagine it or think so, then it's going to, the folks, you see, will get afraid, and the devil will take advantage and defeat children of God. Because they'll go away and say, well, now that man's a member of this church, saved, baptized, the Holy Ghost, and you mean that he had a devil in him? Maybe I've got one in me. Well, these things need to be defined. He's not demon-possessed. Now, you got money in your pocket, but that don't mean money possesses you, does it? I said, does it? Yet we've seen some people that are possessed by the desire for money, isn't that right? But yet, just because you've got money in your pocket or in your billfold don't mean that you're possessed by money. And because he may have a demon oppressing his body doesn't mean that he's demon possessed. His spirit's not even touched by that demon. It's his body. Yet the thing must be cast out. Or you're following me. Yet that's not true concerning every case of healing. But if it needs to be done, God revealed to you. If you don't, why don't do it? Just go ahead and minister healing. And so I explained to the people that we are spirit, soul, and body. And that our body hasn't been redeemed yet, and that it's up to us. Our spirits are born again. And it's up to us, because we're the caretakers of that body, to see if the devil doesn't get in. But if we don't know how or haven't been taught, well, we leave the door open and the devil gets in. And I'm going to cast this thing out of him. Well, I laid my hands on him again, and this time I had a different revelation. Still the word of knowledge operating. I had what I call a mini M-I-N-I vision. I didn't know the man, I didn't know where he lived, but in this vision, see, real quick, I saw where he lived, saw his house. And I saw him in bed. I knew it was about midnight two nights before, you see. It's midnight, he can't sleep, he doesn't disturb his wife, because now his wife's had to go on to work, you know, because he's been off from work for 2 years. So he got up and left the bedroom up in the front of the house and went on the back porch. Now, they had on the back of this house what we down in Texas, you know, he's called a screened-in back porch, sort of a sleeping porch, you know. screen on it, you know, in the summertime while they roll the canvas up. In wintertime, they let the canvas down, you know, sort of have a... And so there's a bed back there. And I saw him fall across this bed. And then he just holding his stomach, just rolling from one side to the other. His stomach was burning like fire. So I said to him, two nights ago, at about midnight, a little after, you couldn't rest, you couldn't sleep, you didn't want to disturb your wife, so you got up and went from the front bedroom out the back porch. You have a screened-in back porch. We used to call them a sleeping porch sometime, the back of your house. And you just fell across the bed. And you were just holding your stomach, rolling from one side to the other, and your stomach just a burning like fire. Well, now, see, here's a fellow, it's a full gospel, spirit-filled fellow, but he said, well, you must be a fortune teller or a mind reader. That's exactly what happened. Well, no, you know, the devil can tell fortunes and read people's minds sometimes, but God knows more than the devil does. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. And he can outdo the devil anytime. Praise God. No, I said, I didn't get that in my head. I got that in my spirit. The Spirit of God showed me. Well, he said, that's exactly what happened. Now, I said to him, now remember, I don't know whether you've forgotten my thought or not, but back there when I was talking about that blind man, the ninth chapter of John, where Jesus spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle, said, go wash it off in the pool of Siloam, and thou shalt come again seeing. I'm talking about he had to obey that before he could get healed. Isn't that right? I said, isn't that right? In other words, just say it another way. Obedience was demanded before healing was manifested. And that is true oftentimes, or sometimes, let's put it that way. Sometimes that is true. So I said to this man also, because I knew by revelation, I said, I don't want to embarrass you, and yet I must minister to you right here in front of everybody. I said, you see, you're a member of this church. The pastor will tell you. I didn't even know he had to speak up and tell me he was a member of this church. But I said, you see, you don't even pay your tithes or support the church financially. And it wasn't just your stomach that was burning, but your conscience was hurting you. And you was harassing about that. Oh, he said, I know you're a fortune teller now. I said, that's exactly what happened. No, I said, I'm not telling your fortune. My head don't have a thing in the world to do with it. I got the revelation of it and saw it all in my spirit. Now, I said, you see, before I can minister to you, you're going to have to obey God. Now, can you see that? You're going to have to, in other words, what are you going to do? See, this settle this thing first, and then we'll get the healing. Well, he said, bless God, I'm going to, see, he had a good job, oil companies. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to give offerings. Fine, I said. Cast the thing out of him. I knew it left him. There's no manifestation, but I knew it in my spirit. I said to him, go home and eat a two-bone steak. Now, for 2 years, he hadn't had any real solid food. He said all he could eat was a little baby food because he couldn't keep that on his stomach half the time. A few raw eggs mixed up in a little milk, you know, and he can't keep that on his stomach. Well, he went home, did just exactly what I said, ate a T-bone steak, never bothered him, went back to the doctor. The very next day, they took an X-ray of his stomach, and his stomach's clear. I mean, the ulcers are gone. See, he had a whole wad of ulcers, like a wasp nest, whole wad of them in his stomach. It's all gone. I mean, before the meeting was over, he is back to work. Now, you see, we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us. And we can't just set a pattern, you see, of we ministered everybody the same way. And you shouldn't want to be ministered to just like somebody else was. If we're going to do the works of Jesus, we'll have to do them the way he did them. Isn't that right? Yeah. Are you following me now? Now then, here's where people miss it. I want you to see something here now. Somebody said to me in that very meeting, see, I didn't have any other revelation about anybody else in the healing line. Not a word. Well, there's no use in me trying to manufacture one because it wouldn't be right anyway. Unless the Spirit of God's in it. See? Now somebody said, I don't understand that. Now, I know it's right because a man admitted it's so. But now, you see, here's where people make a mistake about the prophet's ministry. They think he ought to know everything about everybody. But they didn't, even in the Old Testament. Are you listening? Now, you'll have to realize this about Jesus, because he did stand in that office, that he had the Spirit without measure. See, John 3:34 said, talking about Jesus, that he had the Spirit without measure. Now that infers that all the rest of us have the Spirit by measure, and for that simple reason, you see, we wouldn't know everything like he would, because he had the Spirit without measure. Remember what Paul himself said? He said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Remember there in the Old Testament again about Elisha? You remember Naaman came there, you know, and was healed. And he wanted to give Elisha, you know, so many talents of gold, so many talents of silver, and so many changes of raiment, or we would say suits of clothes, the way we would talk. But he wouldn't take anything. He said, it's not time to be receiving gifts. And remember that Elisha had a servant by the name of Gehazi. And he followed, ran after Naaman and overtook him and lied to him and said, after you left, two young prophets came. And though my master wouldn't take anything for himself, he said it'd be all right to take so many talents of gold, so many talents of silver, and a couple of changes of raiment, or we'd say a couple of suits of clothes apiece for these two prophets. Well, old Naaman just a thrilled about being healed of this deadly disease that he gave him twice as much as he asked for, didn't he? And then that rascal went out and hid it, because he's lying, and getting it for his own benefit. Then when he stood in the presence of Elisha, the prophet, Elisha asked him, where have you been? He said, nowhere, my master. And he said, my spirit went with you when you joined yourself to that chariot. See, he saw it in the spirit. Now you stop and reflect upon that just a minute. Here this fellow Gehazi is with Elisha the prophet every day. Every single day. Well now, if the prophet, because he's a prophet, because he stands in that office, if he always knows everything about everybody, well, wouldn't he have been a fool? I mean, you know, he's not stupid.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's book entitled Mountain Moving Faith. We're also offering Lynette Hagin's CD, Navigating Life Without Stress. Last but not least is Kenneth W. Hagin's CD entitled When the Enemy is Coming After You. All these items at the special price of $20. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
We have Rhema Spring College Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's April the 12th through the 14th, right here on the Rhema USA campus.
You can go to rhema.org and find out all about it, register and all of that. It's a free event. You get to attend classes, you meet with the dean, you get a tour of the campus. There's a big worship night with the worship team. And then there's information about jobs and housing, and there's a fun night.
Absolutely.
There's all kinds of things happening. And so if you want to know something about Rhema Bible College, just go and sign up and come on and be out here with us on April 12th through the 14th, right here, Friday through the Sunday.
That's right.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, Healing, How to Receive It, How to Keep It. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.